Bibles out, if you would, please. Tonight, we're going to talk about, again, the subject of finances. I want you to find the verse in Proverbs chapter 13. Look for verse number 22. Proverbs 13, 22. Tonight, I'm going to talk about inheritances. Inheritances. Throughout this course, if you've been listening, we've dealt with a variety of subjects. Last week, I think, was the 23rd, maybe the 23rd or 24th lesson. It was the first time we taught a whole lesson on the subject of tithing, which means there were 20-plus lessons on other financial concepts or teaching. Tonight, inheritances. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. Would you stand with me real quickly? We're going to read one verse together. That's Proverbs 13, 22. And then while you're standing, we'll read a second verse. So I'm going to read aloud. You can follow along silently. The Bible says this: a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Now, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Once you find Romans 8, find verse number 17. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. Romans 8, 17 says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we might be also glorified together." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight as we study your book, our textbook, the book that tells us how to live. The perfect book. Now, Lord, reach down from heaven and might your Holy Spirit take the subject of tonight and help us. Oh, we want to be spiritually educated, but we want to live right. We just don't want our brains to have some information. We want our lives to be pure and clean and decent and successful. So, Holy Spirit, control what's said tonight, control what's heard. And help us, Father, that we learn something else about finances, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. My original intent when I taught this lesson tonight on this subject, inheritances, I was going to study and find a story about a wasted inheritance. And I have to tell you, when I got to looking, there were so many of them, I really couldn't pick which one to use. Story after story after story of people who inherited but then wasted frivolously that inheritance. I did want to tell you this. One of the greatest inheritances, and maybe, and you can't always be sure, but from what research I did, one of the greatest inheritance ever, there was a man by the name of Sam Walton who built Walmart. He bought his very first store in 1945. And in 1992, he passed away, and his oldest son, Stuart, took over. In 2016, his son, Stuart, took over. But they said that passing down of Walmart, and whatever degree the Waltons still owned it, it was worth $151.5 billion. What an inheritance. Now, right before I get to teaching, I want to say this. If you're a born-again Christian, your inheritance is greater than that. Let me read this verse to you. Romans 8, 17. "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ." We're God's children. We are heirs from our Heavenly Father. And that $151.5 billion that was passed down in the Walton family is a drop in the bucket to what our Heavenly Father has made available to us. Romans 8:17, it tells us and reminds us, the saved are God's children. We're his sons, we're his daughters, we're joint heirs with Jesus. And we are to do the will of God. But I want to use that word will just a little differently. The Bible is God's will. I'd like to say it's his last will and testament, but God does not die. But it is his will. God, in the document called the Bible, has left to his children an inheritance. And the Bible is the legal binding document, like a will that would be read after the death of a human being. We share an inheritance with Jesus Christ. So God has set an example for you and I about inheritance to our children or our spouses, however you want to look at it. Now, let me tonight, I'm going to make a handful of very quick observations about this idea of an inheritance. Number one, let me say, I'm going to answer the question, what does the word inheritance mean? So number one, what does the word inheritance mean? Pretty much what the Bible, or the way the Bible would define that word inheritance, is the way that the Webster's Dictionary would define it. Webster's Dictionary says an inheritance is something given at the owner's death to an appointed heir. Now, when you hear the word heir, I want you to think of the word heirloom. It has something to do with the word heritage. So, an inheritance is when someone passes, they pass on to someone else something that was theirs. Now, the Bible defines it just a little bit differently. The Bible definition of an inheritance is an heirloom. It would have to do with an estate or getting what we would call a portion. It's the word heritage. Actually, it also includes the word occupancy, because most of the time in the Bible, if you inherited something, you would then occupy it, meaning it would be a home or it would be a piece of land. So that became a part of the Bible definition of the word inheritance. It's an estate or money that is received by a husband or a wife or a whoever. When one passes away, something is passed on to the husband or to the wife or the children or the grandchildren as a result of their death. In the Bible, it was often land. Also in the Bible, you'll have to understand that the word inheritance is an expression, or it's in reference to heavenly things and the kingdom of God, as I applied earlier when we read Romans 8:17. You and I, we inherit things from our heavenly Father. Now, that does include gold and riches. Next week, we will study another lesson on money. And the next lesson I'll teach is the wealth of heaven. And I'll show you how wealthy our heavenly Father is. But for tonight, what does the word inheritance mean? It's something given at the time of an owner's death to an appointed heir. Number two, there are many, many verses in the Bible that use the word inheritance. Now remember, there are other words, heritage, heir, but just the word inheritance. The word inherit is used 62 times. The word inheritance is used 239 times. The word inheritances, plural, is used once. Inherited with an ED at the end is used 6 times. Then when you get to the word heritage, there's many forms of it, but I think about 30 plus times you'll see the word heritage. I'm going to read 3 or 4 of them. I'm not going to take the time to read a bunch of them, but they're throughout the Bible. Acts chapter 20 verse 32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Now, let me read a verse to you, and the word heritage is used. And remember, that is a form of, or a part of, the definition of the word inheritance. Psalm chapter 16, verse 6 says, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a godly heritage." You could almost replace the word heritage with the word inheritance. Now, I don't think we ought to. God wrote the Bible the way he wanted it written, but those words are, they're almost identical in their definition. Let me read another verse to you. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 2 says, "A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren." Let me read one more. Ezekiel chapter 46, verse 16, it says this, "Thus saith the Lord God, if the prince give a gift unto any of his sons, the inheritance thereof shall be his sons. It shall be their possession by their inheritance." So I gave you the definition of an inheritance. Then I've showed you many times, 300 plus times, the word inheritance is used both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Thirdly, I want to talk to you for a moment, and my third point, I just wrote down Old Testament inheritance information. I want to talk to you about the Old Testament for a minute and the inheritance teaching and the process of inheritance in the Old Testament. So let me read a couple of things to you. For instance, the Lord directs Moses about an inheritance, obviously in the Old Testament. Let me read it to you. Numbers 36 verse 2 says, "And they said, the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by the Lord to give the inheritance of our brothers unto his daughters." Now twice you see the word inheritance in that one verse. Notice it talked about a lot. And that's just like a lot for you and I today. You know, there's a lot next door to our church that we would like to own so we could park our cars on it legally. But there's a lot next door, and your house sets on a lot. And there were lots being given as an inheritance, and Moses was directed to do that. Now, according to Leviticus chapter 21, I'm not going to read it all to you because you would have to read from verse 14 through verse 25. You would find that there were some guidelines that they used in the Old Testament when it came to inheritances. And remember, what is an inheritance? A mom, a dad, a grandparent passes away. They leave to the survivors their property, whether it's land or money or whatever. In a moment, I'll show you it's far more than just money. But in Leviticus, it talks about the guidelines that they use for inheritance in the Old Testament. The first thing is this. The firstborn son received a double portion. You could read about that in Deuteronomy 21. Now, if you're a lady or a daughter, you might say, well, what's the big deal about that? Or if you're the second or third son, you might be wondering, wait a minute, why does the big brother get it all? I'll explain it in a minute. But I said, number one, the firstborn son receives a double portion of the inheritance. Then number two, according to Numbers chapter 27, verse number 8, daughters were entitled to inheritance. And then there was a process that if there was no son, that they would go through in regard to the daughter receiving the inheritance. But I want to explain something to you. In the Old Testament, it was a very, very big deal to have a son born into the family. And it's not because a son was more valuable than a daughter, but there was something about that son being born, and it was a big deal. I'll explain it in a minute. That's why they start out and say the oldest son will get a double portion, and then the daughter will receive inheritance if there's not a son, and it goes on. If there were no heirs, maybe if the heirs had died, if there were no kids, if there were no one to give it to, or even if the heirs were wicked, a parent or grandparent may say, I'm not leaving my money to my kid to go smoke it up in dope or drugs or whatever. The Bible talks about being cautious about to who you give an inheritance. Now, let me see if I can explain to you a little bit why the oldest son would get a double portion and why they made such a big deal about trying to get a boy born into the family. And that's because of this. In those parts of history, the passing on of ownership of land to the children and grandchildren was vital. They would have in that day, there was a lot of farming that went on. The world was not what you would call real industrial. You know, everybody wants to live around cities now, but everybody in that day and age, even more than 100 years ago in America, they were rural. They were farmers, and everybody was growing crops. And land was very important for the growing of the crops. So they would have been land rich, but cash and money poor for the most part. So here's the reason why the oldest son would get the double portion is because a dad would teach his oldest boy how to farm the land. And the intent would be that the oldest son would inherit a double portion, and it was his responsibility to keep the family business strong so everybody else could work for the family and earn a living. It was virtually a family economy. Each family had its own little economy. And so the way it got set up is the oldest boy was the first one that was taught how to do the farming, and he was given a double portion, and he was kind of responsible of making sure the farm stayed strong so his little brothers and sisters and everybody would have money and everybody would have food and everybody would have a job. So I don't think God was saying, I'm going to throw you ladies under the bus. I think God was saying, we're going to take that the oldest boy, he's going to be taught to keep the economy of the family strong. Now, it's a little different now today and in America. And might I tell you, if they didn't handle their money right, here's what would happen. There were many heathen nations and very wicked people that, of course, there always have been. There are many evil nations and wicked people today. But what would happen to many people if they did not keep the family farm strong and if they didn't have a source of income, they would become slaves. And they would end up working as a virtual slave for somebody else. So you'd say, well, I would have rebelled against my big brother getting a double portion. No, you probably would have gone right along with it, hoping he could keep the economy strong so the entire family could succeed on the family ground or land. Because if you didn't succeed, you'd probably be taken into slavery. And that's kind of how it worked. Now, today, in America, there's multiple ways of earning a living. And if you don't inherit land, you can still go work as a mechanic or a truck driver or a nurse or a doctor. But in that day, everybody was farming. And you just look through the Bible. When you look and they start talking about the wealth of Job, they're always telling you how many camels he had, how many goats he had, how many sheep he had. You check out what they talk about when it comes to Solomon. Solomon's herds multiplied so fast, he had full-time accountants counting his sheep. And they'd get done and say, oh, we got to count again tomorrow, because they're multiplying so quickly. But it was all about the massive number of herds and things that they had. Now, again, today, there's multiple sources of income, so it doesn't work that way as much. But I want to take a moment and explain the Old Testament inheritance information, because if you ever went in to study it, you would say, well, that's different. And there was a reason why it was different in that day and age. All right? So we started out, and I made an explanation or a definition of the word inheritance or heritage. Then we've seen that there are over 300 plus references in the Bible to this thing called inheritance. We see that in the Old Testament, number three, that it was handled in a unique way. God had a plan. Number four, I'll give you some real quick examples of God that God gave us in the Bible about the leaving of an inheritance. There are personalities in the Bible that left an inheritance to their families. Let me read a few verses to you about those. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, it says this, "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thy heir." And then in chapter 25, verse number 5 of Genesis, it says that Abraham, it says this, "And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac." Now, what's that a picture of? That is a picture of a dad that passed on to his son his belongings. By the way, his son Isaac was a good kid. And so dad had worked hard and was passing down to a good kid a good heritage or an inheritance. Rachel and Leah, they inquire about an inheritance from their father. In Genesis 31, verse number 14, it says, And Rachel and Leah answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Now you say, why would they be asking that? I think because they were distanced from their family some, and when dad passed away, the inheritance was doled out. And remember, if the oldest son got a double portion, they're probably wondering, is there anything left over that can be put into my hope chest as an inheritance? Now, let me go on. Israel and Joseph, father, son. Listen to Genesis chapter 48, verse 21 and 22. It says, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers. And I want to stop right there and I want to say something. I'm going to teach this again later. The best thing that Israel did for Joseph, he assured him, your inheritance is topped off with God. Listen to what he said. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you. Let me say to everybody here, and I'll say this multiple times before we're done, the greatest inheritance that you can leave your children is an understanding of God and a family name of serving God. That's what's happening here. But it goes on. It says, moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. Why do you do that? Remember, he's getting a double portion above the brothers so that the family business can stay strong. So let me read the whole verse again. It's found in Genesis 48, verse 21, and a part of verse 22, I think, here. It says, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren. Another, the children then of Joseph. So Israel passed something down to Joseph, and now Joseph is about to pass something down to his kids. In Joshua 24:32, it says, in the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground, which Jacob bought of the sum of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Let me give you one more. Last Sunday morning at our church, we studied Jehoshaphat. And here we'll see this is Jehoshaphat. And this has to do with his son, Jehoram, who is about to inherit the kingdom. It says in 2 Chronicles 21:3, and their father gave them great gifts of silver and of gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn. All right. So we started the night out with a definition of what it meant to receive or what an inheritance is. I said, secondly, multiple times in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, you see the word inheritance. I said, thirdly, I explained to us why or how they handled an Old Testament inheritance. Then I gave you a series of examples of people that left an inheritance. Now, number five, this is one of my exciting points. It was very exciting to me. It's not very long, but it's very exciting. God makes himself available as an inheritance. God makes himself available as an inheritance. Let me read to you from Numbers chapter 18, verse number 20. It says this, and the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Here we see that there is an inheritance that's being given out and land is being given out. And the Lord says to Aaron, Aaron, I'm not going to give the Levites, I'm not going to give you any land. They might have said, well, what are we going to get? We're getting cheated. We're going to get left out. And God said, I am giving you me. Let me tell you, when I was preparing this lesson, this is what I thought. And I don't mean this unkindly in any way, shape, or form, but this is what I thought. I would like to pastor a group of people who would rather inherit God than money. Because when we all hear the word inheritance, we all think money, land, riches. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we wanted God more than we wanted anything? And I'm not sure how Aaron and everybody responded when the Lord said, I'm not giving you any land and I'm not giving you any money. I'm giving you me. Hey, there's nothing greater than God. He is better than all the land. He is better than all the gold. He's better than all the silver. He's better than all the pearls and riches. Next week I will teach on the riches of heaven, but I'm going to tell you something. All the gates are pearl, and the walls are gold, and the streets are gold. And boy, once you hear everything the Bible says about it, I'm going to make you a promise. The day you pass away, you close your eyes in death, you open your eyes in heaven, what you're going to do is you're going to run into that great city. And when you do, your eyes are not going to be looking at the pearl. They're not going to be looking at the gold. They're not going to be looking at the jasper. You're going to be running toward a throne. And you're going to say, I've got to see Him. And you're going to want to see Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you get to heaven, you'll realize what your pastor was saying when he said, I wish we wanted Him more than what we want what He can provide for us. But here, the promise is made to Aaron and the Levites. I'm not giving you things. God said, I'm giving you me. Let me go on. Number six. The ability to leave an inheritance, and indeed, is a great blessing, and it's a blessing from God. Let me read to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 8. The Bible says, Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Now, here it's talking about people that have kept the things of the Lord, and God is blessing them with the ability to leave an inheritance. And let me tell you this. There's multiple people in this room, and there are people in here that, it's obvious to me right now, there are people in here, they're so poor they can't even pay attention. But there are people in here that have a buck or two in their pocket, and there are people in here that may have hundreds and thousands of dollars in their pocket. But I would say to everybody under the sound of my voice, everybody can leave an inheritance to their family. Everybody can. Inheritance isn't always money. There are greater things than money that we can leave. If you leave an inheritance, it's due to God's mercy and grace and blessing. Now, you may leave an inheritance of money. You may leave something, you may leave behind a business or belongings. That's all very possible. But I would tell you this. It's very obvious, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 8, God said, if you leave an inheritance, God said, it's because I gave you what you have. And I gave you what you have, and then if you pass that on to your kids, don't you forget where you got it. So if you ever do pass something on to your children or your family or to your spouse or to whoever, you might want to remind them where it came from. So important. Then don't be vain. I started reading about what we call the worldly successful and their big money and everything. But Pine, I was shocked at how vain the world is about their success. It was all, I'm going to leave this because I did great things. I'm going to leave this behind for my kids. And I thought, you didn't do anything without God. You didn't do anything without God. So, the ability to leave an inheritance is a blessing from God. Now, all of us may leave a few bucks behind, and that's a wonderful thing, and it's scriptural to do so if you can. But we can all leave an inheritance. We can believe a faith that we can leave behind a faith in God. We can leave behind the family Bible. Not the one that looks like it's brand new. I'm talking about the one that's got soiled pages, stained with tears, folded pages, ink marks, notes. That's greater heritage than any money. Let me go on. Number seven. Jesus speaks of inheritances, and He speaks of them personally in the New Testament. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 12, verse number 13, 14, and 15. It says this, And one of the company said unto Him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And He said unto him, Man, Who made me judge or a divider over you? He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. This one time, Jesus chose to get involved or to put in the perfect Word of God an interaction about an inheritance. And you know what he has to do? He has to say, well, don't let it cause a family mess. And that's sad, but boy, can inheritances create a mess. This passage is Jesus, and he's talking about inheritance. Notice he said this. Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. What is Jesus saying? He said, here you all are wanting to get something in regard to the inheritance. And he said, I think he's telling them, you are covetous. You're greedy. You just want to receive. It might even be that whoever it was that passed away, Jesus might have known who it was that passed away. One of the kids come and says, can you help us get this thing cleared up? They're not wanting to share the right amount of the inheritance with me. And I think Jesus is probably saying, I know your dad. He was a good man. And here you are fussing about a few bucks. When that good man lies in a grave and it's not been that long ago that he passed away, why are you acting like that? I think Jesus would have said, you go to the same church and you brothers are fighting over an inheritance. You're a terrible testimony. He said to him, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. He said, you got something better than that out of your dad. Why don't you act right? So, Jesus warns of greed. I got to tell you, folks, let me give you a quick warning. As a pastor, I have been involved in more than one family feud over inheritance. They don't usually come to me till it's going hot and heavy. You know, they really want to get it worked out and not go see the pastor. But somebody says, well, let's go see the preacher. He'll tell us the truth. And I'm thinking, let's not go see the preacher. Go see Dr. Phil. I don't want to deal with you. I pastored up near Washington, D.C. for years. There was a family when I got there. It was just a few weeks into my pastorate there. Someone passed away. The family, there was a lot of land and a lot of money that was going to be distributed among the kids. But the will was very, very weak in regard to the way it was prepared. 9 years later, they were still fussing and fighting, trying to get it all worked out. To the point, they would not talk to each other. I'm talking about brothers and sisters, would not talk to each other. There had actually been threats upon one another's lives. There were actually false accusations being made because they knew if a family vote came up, if someone were incarcerated, they could not show up for the vote for the settling of the will. And my statement to them was, you would have been better off inheriting nothing and loving one another. It's tragic. It's funny what money will do. Let me go on. I've got to hurry. Number 8. An inheritance can be more than money. It can be more than money. I'll give you my opinion. Money is the least most important inheritance. It is an inheritance. And you say, well, how do you come up with that, preacher? If you will go through the Bible, you will find the references to inheritance and money are seldom compared to the references of godliness and holiness and righteousness in the inheritance. God makes a bigger deal about inheriting righteousness and goodness. And I don't mean that we can inherit righteousness. You have to live righteous. We're talking about that family testimony and the things that go along with just having God pass from generation to generation. Not religion, but a holy God. Now, so an inheritance can be more than money. I think this, you men, if you have a good wife, listen to this verse. Proverbs 19:14 says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. I studied that verse upside and down. I've just looked at it. I think God is teaching, if you have a good wife, it was inherited from your heavenly Father. It was a gift from God. You might want to remember that. You might want to treat your gift right. Secondly, here's another verse. I think it's a great verse. I think a good wife is something we inherit from the Lord. Then, children. Listen to this verse. Psalm 127, verse 3. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is His reward. Somehow, we are a part of an inheritance when we have children. And you might be thinking, I really didn't want as much inheritance as what I've got right now. Oh, I got a bit off more than I can chew. At our house, our theme was four and no more. You know, after we had our fourth child, I said to myself, if we have another, we just shouldn't do this. I began to understand why some species eat their young. Well, some of you got a bunch of kids. You know what I'm talking about. I think God just said to us, if you've got a good wife, that's something that you've inherited. I think God gives us children. And folks, children, what a miracle. What a miracle when God gives you a child. That is not something that man has control over. All you have to do is watch a child be born, and I don't see how anybody could be an atheist after having watched a child born into this world. So I think a good wife is an inheritance. I think children are something that God has given to us as an inheritance. Now remember, everything we have belongs to Him. We are stewards. Those are God's kids. You know, your spouse, they belong to God before they belong to you. But let me go on. Then I noticed that the Word of God is found as an inheritance. Psalm 119, verse 111 says, Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. What a wonderful heritage, the Word of God. I think a good name is a part of a heritage or inheritance. That because Proverbs 22, verse 1 says, A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. We should want to pass down to our children a good name. You say, what's a good name? An honest name. A name that uplifts the Savior. A name that believes the Bible. I also believe, I think Psalm 61 verse number 5 says a great heritage is where we pass down a respect or an admiration or a healthy fear of God. Listen to Psalm 61:5. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. So there's that word inheritance attached to passing down to the next generation a fear. And that's not talking about a fear and trembling of God. It's talking about a respect, an admiration for the great God of the universe. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to review again, but I want to make one last application. I want to talk to you about some inheritance guidelines. Now we're going to get even more practical than what we've already been. Inheritance guidelines. First of all, leaving a good name and testimony is most important in regard to an inheritance, not money. Let me read to you from 2 Timothy 1:5. It says, When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Here's what this is. This is Paul talking to Timothy. Paul, the great man of God, talking to Timothy, the young preacher boy. And Paul said to Timothy, Your mom and your mom's mom gave you a great inheritance, faith. They gave you faith. So, leaving a good name and a good testimony is more important than leaving money. Secondly, inheritance, you should be cautious in leaving inheritance that will be spent on wicked ventures or wicked by wicked persons. Let me read to you from Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18 through 21. Listen here as you listen for what I'm about to talk about. What I want to teach for a moment is God's warning us about we work hard and we try to live right and honor God, and then we leave that to someone that who knows what they're going to do with it. Are they going to party it away? So listen to Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18 through 21. It says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun. It is also vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity, yet to a man that hath not labored there shall he leave it for his portion. This also is vanity and a great evil. So what he was saying was, I worked hard. I worked hard to do right with my money. Maybe here's someone that said, I tithed and I gave offerings and I tried to live righteously, and I'm petrified to leave it to the ones that are going to blow it on sin. I worked all my life. Okay, now I'm going to show you something, and if you disagree with me on this, you certainly may. Everybody has the right to be wrong if they want to be. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 5. I want to show you something that God says about the inheritance of heaven. He said, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, that is in association to the lost. God's saying the lost, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But I am going to tell you something. God is saying here, I'm not approving leaving inheritance to be used wickedly. He said, I don't want to waste my inheritance on wickedness. Okay? So, some guidelines. First of all, leave a good name. That's more important than money. Secondly, be careful leaving a bunch of money to something or someone that's going to waste it on evil or wicked. Thirdly, I think the Bible teaches that if we gain an inheritance, just like all increase, it ought to be tithed on. Deuteronomy 14:28 says, at the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe and of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gate. Now, anytime we're increased, God tells us we're to tithe on that increase. So if we inherit money, then we are to tithe on that increase. I think this is the fourth observation, if you will. If an inheritance is left to a minor, someone should be assigned to administrate the inheritance until that minor has gained the wisdom to handle it properly. You say, wow, that just makes sense. Well, that's taught in the Bible. I'll show you. I'm going to read a verse to you. What it's saying is, if mom and dad were to pass away and the children were very young and they would not know how to handle the money, then that inheritance needs to be assigned to an overseer that would make sure it was used properly for the sake of the kids. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. It says this, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of his father. So what that's saying is, he is the heir, he owns it, but until he grows up, he will have a tutor or a governor, an overseer to help to make sure he doesn't waste his father's inheritance. And I think most of you that have ever set up a will for your children, you knew that if you passed away and your kids were small, there would have to be someone that would administrate the trust or the inheritance. And that's just, and so you say, well, that's just common sense. No, that's Bible truth. That's what that is. Let me go on. Next, inheritance should be planned as to not cause family chaos. Inheritance should be planned as to not cause family chaos. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that ye all speak the same thing. There be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how do you get past the chaos? Well, you probably won't get past it all because we're sinners. But I can tell you this. If you are going to leave an inheritance, what you do is you prepare a will or you prepare a trust. In most cases, a trust is better than a will because it's a little more secure. Someone can they can oppose or challenge a will with a revocable or irrevocable trust. They won't be able to challenge it. But you spell it out, you make it clear, but I have watched people, if someone passes away and there are things to be left behind and there's not a plan, documented plan, whether it's a will or a trust, then there comes the fighting and the fussing. The more detailed the will or trust is, the less apt they are to be able to fight because you spell it all out. And in some cases, it's maybe even wise to let those that are inheriting know what they're getting before they get it. Why? They heard it straight from the horse's mouth. You're getting nothing. You let the water run. I told you not to let the water run. I told you that money doesn't grow on trees, and I'm dying, and you're getting nothing for letting the water run. But honestly, I think sometimes if people know, they're less apt to fuss because they heard it, they knew it, they had a chance to adjust to it. But how you do it, that doesn't matter. If you've listened tonight, I've showed you in the scripture this idea, it's scriptural, of inheritance. And I've tried to teach it from, I think, God's perspective.